You're muted, Brother David.
Brother David, if you would unmute yourself, we'd love to hear what you're saying.
Can you hear me now? I'm sorry. Am I unmuted? Brother James, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. We hear you.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jeb and Brother James. I apologize. I'm sorry. I was saying that it's a sweet privilege to be here with you all. It is. And that if nothing, and I'm sure it's been said on this service and broadcast many times, that while there wasn't a great deal of good associated with COVID, one glorious thing that has come out of COVID are meetings like this and opportunities to worship and be with the Lord's people in times like this that we just wouldn't have had previously. And I'm so, so thankful. On Wednesday evening, I get to hear the sweet voice of Brother Sonny Huckabee approaching the throne of God's great grace on behalf of the Lord's people. What a privilege that is. I wouldn't have experienced that previously. And hear Brother Jeb and Brother Sonny leading us all in hymn singing. What a great blessing. It's so refreshing, and it's a privilege to be a part of it. I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people. I need them. I have needed them my entire life. I continue with that need tonight. I trust that you'll be kind and pray on my behalf, that everything that's said and done would only be to his glory. Only he is worthy, but that there'd be consolation for the family of God and things that we have to share tonight. I want to begin with a bit of personal honesty, and so you all will overlook my weakness. Your dear pastor so graciously invited me some time ago, and I put it on my calendar for a Wednesday night in August, but not this Wednesday night in August. And I know that he's right, and this is the right Wednesday night. My fingers don't always do well on technology on my phone, and I just put it on the wrong Wednesday night, Brother James, and I'm so thankful for your text this morning. At about 10 o'clock our time, I got a text from Brother James saying, Brother David, we're praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I thought, well, you know, that's so kind of Brother James to think of me this morning and just kind of that's so kind of him. The more I thought about that, the more I thought, I bet this. And then Brother Mickey Myers reached out to me. Thank you for your prayers and for your kind reminders. So we have tried with the Lord's help to meditate throughout the course of the day. And I want to share with you a couple of passages of scripture and another bit of spiritual candor. I do not have a great deal of experience at all in sharing these passages with the Lord's people. I don't. So this will be new ground for me. But it's what's on my heart. It's what's remained with me throughout the course of the day once I realized that today is the day. So please do be careful to pray for me. I feel a special need of your prayers. I want to read to you from three places in what we would call the poetic literature, sometimes wisdom literature. One place from the book of Ecclesiastes, then from the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. And the writer Solomon says, it's a very straightforward verse, not a great deal of mystery here at all. He says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Solomon said, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The man who labors finds rest is sweet when he lays himself down in God's care and keeping. Proverbs 3:24, Solomon again is our writer, and he says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. It said in Ecclesiastes 5:12 that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And here, when the child of God lays himself down in God's care and keeping, he said, thy sleep shall be sweet. And then in Psalm 127, verse 2, he said, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So the idea that I would like for us to carry away from it, the principle that I would like for us to carry away from those three verses, of course, rest is primary. Rest. For the Hebrews, the term sleep is synonymous with rest. The Lord gives his beloved rest. He giveth his beloved sleep. Rest comes from God. It belongs to him. He gives it. God, as he's the repository of all peace in this world, if you get peace, you'll get it from God. If you get real meaningful rest, it will come from the Lord. The rest of a laboring man is sweet. Rest after meaningful, purposeful labor is the divine order of things. The slothful man does not find sweet rest. He might find rest at some level, but it's not going to be sweet. The rest of the laboring man is sweet. When I was a teenage boy, I grew up working on a cattle ranch from the time I was young until an older teenager. And I will tell you, during the summers on the cattle ranch, I didn't get into much mischief in the evening, and nobody had to rock me to sleep at night. I couldn't wait to say goodnight. Now, a lot of my friends were out in the evenings, and they had plenty of strength to get into a little mischief. But after you got through working a day for Brother Leonard Godwin on his ranch, I can promise you, you were looking forward to rest, sweet rest. The rest of a laboring man is sweet. We're going to talk about rest and its relationship to labor in the life of the child of God. And so we'll share that very familiar passage of scripture with you to help kind of refine our thoughts. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As a pastor, I'm interested when it comes to the lambs and sheep that I serve. I'm very interested in the subject of rest for folks that I try to pastor and that I try to minister to. As a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've spent the majority of my life trying to help the Lord's people find rest. It's there for the born-again child of God. One of the sad truths that I have learned over the course of years is that we live in a weary, weary world. This world causes us to get so weary, filled with trial and difficulty and and trouble. We labor under the strain and the weight of this broken world in which we live. Even if we're seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ very carefully, even if we're leaning in as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the faithfulness that grace will give, we still feel the weight and the burden of the brokenness of this world. Brother Sonny so sweetly shared about the labor of that dear family that lost their young son. Just before we went to service at McClenny Church, on my way to church this evening, I received a phone call from a precious and dear sister who was just coming from the doctor's office, just kind of collected herself or gathered herself so she could speak to me. She was letting me know that she'd gotten the diagnosis that we all fear. Things don't look well for the cancer diagnosis. She's laboring under the brokenness of this world. I was with the family till very late in their home last night as their family's experiencing a very rocky time, and they're laboring under grievous burdens in their family, and they're trying to hold on. It's a weary world in which we live. But the Lord promises that he gives his beloved rest, that the rest of the laboring child of God is going to be sweet in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are cool waters to be found in Matthew chapter 11, 28. Jesus says, "For those who are weary, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We've talked a little bit about how we labor as God's people in this world. We that have been born again. There was a time in our life when we were at peace, so to speak, if you can call it that, what the person is who does not know God. I know there's no rest for the wicked. But there comes a point in the life of a child of God as the Holy Spirit begins to work with them and begins to draw them in the power of regeneration and the new birth, that a kind of weight and a kind of burden comes into their life that they never knew before. The Apostle Paul describes in the seventh chapter of the book of Romans his life before he was born again. He said this, he said, "I was alive without the law once." Now, that doesn't mean that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not saying that he was alive in the spirit. But what he was saying was that he was living in this world. He was alive to the world. He was alive to the to sin and the pleasure of sin. That's what he lived in. And he was living for the things of this world. He said, "I was alive without the law once." Listen to this. He said, "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." He's describing for us what God does for us in regeneration and in the new birth. God, he prints his laws in the inward parts and he writes them in our minds. He brings his laws to us in a very real way. We didn't care for the law of God. We didn't care for the things of God. Prior to the movement of the Spirit, the life-giving work of the Spirit of God. But as we're quickened and born again, we begin to feel our sins. We begin to feel our inadequacy. And for the first time in our life, we can feel the weight of sin underneath us. And as we're born again, we begin to labor under the weight of our sin in the work of regeneration and the new birth. You see, dead people can't feel weight, though it were 1,000,000 pounds on them. They can't feel any weight at all. But a person who's been made alive A living person can feel weight. And a person who is alive by the power of regeneration through the life-giving work of the Spirit of God, they can feel the weight of their sin. They feel the shame and the reproach that they've brought on Christ through their wayward ways, through their sin-straying ways, and they labor under the weight of their sin. Jesus tells us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Learn about me. Learn who I am and what I've done. You'll find rest from the weight of your sins. And we'll talk more about that. But the child of God initially labors under the weight of sin for the first time. That's a way in which we labor. And after we're born again, we'll begin to labor in different ways. And we'll talk about some of them, the Lord being our helper. But as we're feeling the weight of our sin, and as we're feeling the weight of the brokenness of this corrupt world in which we live in, how sweet and how wonderful are the words of the Savior to hear that there's an answer for our labor and being heavy laden. And the answer begins with the greatest words that ever came from any man's lips. And that's to hear the Son of God telling us, come to me and learn of me. Come unto me. Now, let me say, Jesus Christ does not call for men to come to him, to walk to him in regeneration. You know, I've heard it said by theologians, the theology of this world being taught that if you'll take two steps toward God in regeneration, if you'll take one step toward God, he'll take two steps towards you. Well, dead men can't walk. Whenever Jesus is telling men and women, boys and girls, to come to him, those that are laboring in heaven, they're spiritually sensitized. They're alive. And he's letting them know, I've got rest for you. You can find rest in learning of me. How thankful I am to know that we have a God who beckons us to come to him after we're born again and to find rest, as opposed to Moses in the Old Testament at Mount Sinai. And God says, depart from me. If you come close to me, you'll be thrust through with darts. You'll be killed and destroyed. It's not so with the Son of God. There he stands for us today as born again believers to come and to find rest. And this is in the imperative form. It's in a plural imperative form. And so that means he's really intense about what he's saying. It's when my father would tell me to come, a plural imperative is when he would add on, come here, come now. Jesus is not indifferent about your labor. He would have you come and find rest in him. I've been to try to help so many people, so many of God's born-again people who have been overwhelmed with the sorrow of this world, who've been overwhelmed with the infirmity of the weakness of their flesh, who've been overwhelmed with trials and tribulations, and they've tried to find rest at the bottom of a bottle. They've tried to find rest at the bottom of a prescription bottle. They've tried to find rest in, tried to find refreshing in broken cisterns and wells of this world that can't hold water. Jesus he's imperative here. He's saying, it's here. Come here. Come on, come now, there's rest here. Come and learn of me, you that are laboring and that are heavy laden. Weary, heavy laden. It's a metaphor that's taken from a man that has a great load upon him, which he has to carry to a certain place. And the load is greater than his strength and his ability. And every step he takes reduces his strength and it renders his load more oppressive. You've tried to carry some of those loads physically. I've tried to pick up some, tried to be the man. And I knew when I picked it up, this load's bigger than I am, but I was afraid, I was embarrassed. And I tried to carry it, but each step was taking me down and eventually I'd have to let it go. Child of God, your journey is too great for you. The load's too great. Life is too great. You don't have the strength that's sufficient, but thank God he's laid help on one that is mighty. Christ does, and that's his message here. You've been laboring. The rest of a laboring man is sweet as you come to find the answers for your life in Christ. There's sweet rest to be found in your labor. I remember Elijah. I mean, it was amazing in 1 Kings 19. He had just won an incredible victory, just an incredible victory at Mount Carmel. It's an epic moment. And he's defeated, I mean, just catastrophically defeated the prophets of Baal. He's hacked in pieces, 450 prophets of Baal. He's put the priest of the high places to flight, and he's gone to Jezreel. And he expects a general uprising in Israel to come out against Ahab and to come out against Jezebel. Yet there's no one that is a part of an uprising. It's not working like he thought it did. His ministry is not working like he thought it should. There's not a general uprising, even with the great victory that happened the day before. Nobody to meet him in the street. Nobody's carrying signs of protest to join him against Ahab and Jezebel. And he's overwhelmed by his circumstances. He's paralyzed by his circumstances. And he runs away and hides in a cave and becomes so despondent. He's so weary. He's laboring under the heaviness of his circumstances. Now listen, there's a lesson here for us. We get disappointed by the circumstances of life. And he lays down. He's so despondent. He said, I'm not better than my father's Lord. Take my life. He's ready to die. The Lord sends an angel to him. The angel cooks for him. How good is the Lord? And the angel tells him, he says, listen to this, arise and eat. Listen to what he says. For he says, the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he ate. The word of God tells us that he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. That must have been some kind of cornbread. I'd love to have a pone of that, wouldn't you? A meal that you could have and go 40 days in the strength of it. But notice what he took. What a strange message. He says, arise and eat. The journey's too great for you. And I want to tell you, you feel the weight of your journey at times, don't you? This journey that we're in, our pilgrimage, we're on our way home. This journey is too great for us. It is far too great for you. That's why Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you trying to do it by yourself? Are you being overwhelmed by your circumstances? It's time that you learn that the journey is too great for you. The labor that's required to make this journey is too great. Are you laboring because you're weary? Listen, even Jesus got weary in this world. Isn't that incredible? One of the most precious verses in all of the Word of God in John. As Jesus comes in John chapter 4 to meet the woman at the well, we read that verse. It says, Jesus, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well. If Christ got wearied in his journey, don't you think you'll become weary in your journey? You're wearied? Are you disappointed? Are you laboring because you're despairing? Are you heavy laden with your sin, with guilt? Are you heavy laden with remorse? Are you heavy burden and fear of death, with care, anxiety, greed? Are you heavy laden with ambition, with sorrow, maybe with poverty, with oppression, with slander, with doubt, with temptation, with conflict, with inner faintness. There is so much to overwhelm us. Listen to what he says. He says, I will give you. I will. Jesus says, myself, God himself, God manifest in the flesh. He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You say, Brother David, I'm sure Christ has rest for those that are weary, for those that are laboring and those that are heavy laden. He giveth his beloved rest. But you see, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. He says, I will give. Thank God he said, I will give. This rest is a gift. It comes from the Greek word charisma, which is where we get the word grace from. This is a grace gift. His rest is given by grace. Now, let me say this. We would see later on that we labor to enter into the rest. There's a given rest. There's a found rest. There's a rest that we find by laboring. And if you don't labor, you won't find that rest. Laboring in the kingdom of God will give you rest. But you can't labor without his grace. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Your worthiness to find this rest is in him. He didn't say, I'll show you rest or I'll tell you about rest, but I will give you rest. I'm faithfulness itself. I cannot lie. I will give you rest. I who have the greatest power to give it, the greatest will to give it, the greatest right to give it, I will give you rest. And I'm telling you, if you've ever labored, if you've ever felt the burdens of life, rest is the most desirable good. I'm telling you, I visited with several people in my life that were multimillionaires, and they would have written a check for every dollar in their bank account if they could have found rest, but their money wouldn't buy it. The most suitable good, the greatest good, is the rest, the peace that God giveth his beloved. Are you laboring? He giveth his beloved rest. The rest of a laboring man is sweet. This rest means nothing to those who haven't labored, who hadn't felt the burdens of life, who hadn't felt the burden of their sin. But Jesus said, I will give you peace if you're laboring, peace with God, peace with your conscience. I'll turn the storm into an everlasting calm. I will give you such rest that the world can never take it from you. Oh, child of God, don't go to other places for rest. Augustine of Hippo, he said almost 1600 years ago, he said, Lord, thou madest us for thyself, and we can find no rest till we find it in thee. We used to sing out of a little hymn book. It was called the Lloyd's Hymn Book. That's what we sang out of when I came to McClenny Church years ago. Has no notes in it. There's an old line in the middle of one of the hymns, and I remember it till this day. It says, how blessed thy saints, how safely led, how surely kept, how richly fed, Savior of those in earth and sea, how happy they who rest in thee. I have rest today because Jesus Christ came and labored and toiled like no one ever labored or toiled before or since. And that's my confidence in my rest. Because Jesus Christ came and labored, he undertook a job that no matter my labor, if I gave it all that I had, I'd never be sufficient for the task that he undertook. He came into the world and he said, my need is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, my Father worketh and I work hitherto. My fathers worked in the matter of salvation and redemption and the covenant of grace before the world was, in his electing and predestinating love. And because he's worked on behalf of my people, I've come to work on their behalf. And as he comes to the close of his precious ministry of 3.5 glorious years, he prays to the Father and he said, I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And he wouldn't stop until he was finished. He went to Calvary and endured a death like no man had ever endured before. And you remember what those mockers said in the book of Matthew. The mocking Pharisees came to him and he said, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. Come down from off of that cross. The chief priests would say just a few verses later, come down. If you're the Son of God, come down from your cross. But I remember that glorious picture we're given of the working Son of God in the book of Nehemiah 6 in verse 3, as there he stands as a representative of the Son of God, as Nehemiah is building the wall around the city of Jerusalem, around Mount Zion. And so the Son of God came into this world 2,000 years ago to do the Father's work. And that was to build the wall of salvation and the bulwarks of salvation, as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 27:1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Christ came into this world to do the work of the wall building of our salvation. And so the enemies of Israel came to Nehemiah in Nehemiah 6 and said, come down off the wall and talk to us. Come down and reason with us. But Nehemiah told Sanballat, he told the enemy of Israel, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. And Jesus Christ on Calvary 2,000 years ago, whenever the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people came to the Son of God at the cross and said, come down. Jesus in his silence looked at them as if to say, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. He did a great work, friends. He did the work that we could not do. And in doing that work and in finishing that work, didn't he finish it? Paul said, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down because he's finished. He's resting from the work of our salvation and redemption. He finished the work, but he wouldn't come down off the wall. He was doing a great work. He wouldn't come down until he had finished the work. And because he wouldn't come down, because he wouldn't rest until it was finished, I have rest today. Listen. I labor about a lot of things still. I have a lot of burdens still. But the greatest burden of all would be the concern of the everlasting salvation of my soul. And Jesus Christ has finished that work. And he's given me rest from the matter of salvation and redemption. And if he can take care, if he can take care of my salvation, the eternal destiny of my soul, if he can take care of that work, I believe I can rest myself in him to take care of me every step of the way until I get there. I just need to follow him. I need to follow him in the labor of discipleship. I need to follow him in trusting him, in discipling my life after him, in staying close to him. I need to labor in the kingdom of God, labor not in order to have eternal life, but because of God, eternal life, and rest my soul in his finished work, and then find rest, sweet rest in laboring in that finished work. I'm telling you, I find rest at the end of a day of serving God. My rest is sweet whenever I feel like I've followed the Lord Jesus Christ. There's rest to be found in him. The yoke of a disciple is not heavy. It's not grievous. He's in the yoke with me. A yoke's for two. And when I can't pull like I need to pull, Jesus is in the yoke with me. He said, take my yoke upon me. He didn't say you're going to go discipleship by yourself. He's in the yoke with me. He's pulling with me. You don't have to bear the burdens by yourself. Jesus is with you. Just lean into him. Stay with him. Follow him. Labor in the kingdom with him. And you will find rest in him. I know my thoughts have been scattered. They've just recently been meditated over today. But I hope maybe you've been able to find some relief, some rest. Quit going your own way. Quit seeking your own answers. Come to Christ and follow him in discipleship, and you'll find rest to your souls. May the Lord bless you all and keep you, is my prayer. Thank you for allowing me these few thoughts. We love you dearly, for Christ's sake.